Hello and welcome. Can everyone hear me? Yes. So it's so good to be back this week. It's my absolute pleasure joining you. And so I thought we might start this evening by just taking some deep breaths and getting centered in the depth of our being. And so I'm going to invite you to come inward, to breathe, to feel, to experience. And I'm going to just invite you to hear the sound of the bell and allow it to draw you inward. So there's nothing we need to do in this moment. I invite you to drop everything, to breathe, to feel, and come into the depth of your being. And what you'll begin to notice when you step into the depth of your being is this quiet, radiant presence of love. Quiet, radiant presence. And so I'm going to invite you to feel this, to experience this. And to notice there is this quiet presence of innocence right here, right now. And so will you join me in stepping into this innocence? And so this means you must drop out of the mind, the confusion of the mind, the busyness of the mind, and simply come into your heart. And if any of you are confused about what that is, it's that quiet space of innocence that's been with you throughout the entirety of your life. And so for those of us who feel a heaviness on our hearts, I invite you to take a deep breath, deep full belly breath, and just let go. Let go of some of that heaviness. Life is too short to carry around any heaviness, too short to have an inner fight with someone who's not present. Life is too short. And so can you join me in breathing deeply and feeling this innocence? And as you're breathing in, I want you to imagine that you're drinking the nectar of God. That God's grace is coming into your body, God's love, God's truth, God's pristine love and compassion. And of course, on the exhale, you're letting go of anything which you've been carrying. And so this is a great moment to begin to step into this radiance, to step into this fire, and breathe in this sense of love, breathe in this sense of compassion, breathe in this sense of spacious freedom. And of course, on the exhale, you let go of that which is unnecessary, that which has weighed you down. So many of us here on this planet, we walk around, we carry so much pain from the past, so much heaviness. Perhaps it's our father we need to forgive, or our mother. Perhaps it's someone who died, and they died too soon. They left their life without us, having a chance. To fully connect with them, to fully know them. And so can we forgive them? Perhaps it's an old lover or partner or friend. Can we forgive them? Perhaps it's our children or a friend who's struggled with addiction or anger or sadness. Can we forgive them? And by all means, can we forgive ourselves for being human? And so I'm going to invite you to take a deep, full breath. And just imagine just drinking this nectar in, inviting this nectar in. Receiving something greater than yourself, receiving this love, receiving this light, receiving this peace and this innocence. And so I'm going to invite you to breathe, to feel, to experience, and to let go. And let go. Let go of that which disturbs you, that which has weighed you down, that which you've carried for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, too long. You know, how many of us carry around this pain? And so can we forgive our friends, our family, people we we know, the people we don't know? And simultaneously, in this space of humility, can we open up and forgive ourselves for being human and receive that which is glorious, that which is divine, that which is joyful? Can you receive the radiance and the beauty and the innocence of your own heart? And so will you join me in this, in receiving and breathing and feeling and saying, yes, there is something good here. Yes, there's something divine right here within me. There's something beautiful. There's something innocent that I am. And so will you join me in stepping into this, this presence of I am? And will you join me, Tony, Thane, Christine, Nicole? Will you join me, Neil and Butch? Will you join me, Suzanne and Carlos? Will you join me, Lynn? Join me in this presence of divinity, which you are. And so we're opening our hearts. And we're saying yes. Yes to God. Yes to grace. Yes to love. And so we're letting our guard down. We're opening up the fullness of our energetic body. We're saying yes. Yes, I'm willing to receive. I'm willing to experience. I'm willing to open my heart and be humble and receive this divinity, this goodness, this love, this innocence, this power and strength that I am. That I am. It's a small price to pay. It's a small price. To open up, to say yes, yes, God. It is I, Patricia. It is I, you know, it is I, Denny. I'm willing to open my heart to you. I'm willing to open my heart to this incredible grace, this love. I'm willing to open my heart to the compassion of the universe and say yes. And so will you join me? Will you join me, Sarah, in breathing, feeling, and letting go? Letting go of that which is old, that which is heavy, that which is no good, that which we no longer need. Will you join me, Helen and Tana? Will you join me and put down the past? And say yes to this moment and receive this grace, this love. And so I'm going to invite you to open your throat chakra, open your heart, open your solar plexus, your lower belly. And so we're breathing, we're receiving, and we're saying yes. Yes. I'm willing to open to the love of this moment. Yes. I'm willing to put down my past. Yes. I'm willing to step into the fire of truth and say yes. And so you can take a couple more deep, full breaths Relaxing the pelvis and the legs, the feet, the arms, the hands. And just allow this channel of grace to pour down into you and receive. Receive that which is good. Receive that which is true. Receive the beauty of this moment, the beauty of your true nature. Can we say yes? Yes to what's here. Yes. And so good. So welcome, everyone. It's so good to sit with you. And so I encourage you to continue to receive, continue to be open. Now, so many of us, we run around all of our life with these walls up. We have these walls between us and life, between us and God, between us and our friends and family. We have so many walls, so much division. And so can you give yourself permission to have no walls? No walls. And so what does that mean, to have no walls? It means there's no inner argument. There's no struggle. We're not fighting. We're not fighting. We're not fighting with life. We're not fighting with ourselves. And so if we truly want to step into this absolute divinity that we are, we have to live in an open-hearted way. We have to say yes to life, yes to the truth. We have to say, I'm willing to look. I'm willing to look at my shadow. I'm willing to look at where I struggle. I'm willing to grow. But oftentimes growth is challenging. It's difficult. It's painful. It's oftentimes growth is a mess, an absolute mess. You know, recently this last year, started this nonprofit with Rick Archer and Jack O'Keefe. And together we created what's called the Association of Professional Spiritual Teachers. And our intention is we want to grow together. We want to grow as a community. We want to look at our shadow. You know, it seems like every couple weeks, you know, someone sending me an email about, you know, some great teacher getting in tremendous trouble. Tremendous trouble. And so it doesn't matter where we are on the path. All of us can step into the fire of truth. The experience of enlightenment, the experience of spiritual awakening, that happens in our absolute nature. But in our relative nature, we are always a work in progress. Always a work in progress. So all of us can grow. All of us can evolve. And so continually God is inviting us. Life is inviting us. Evolution is inviting us to step into the fire, to look where we don't want to look, to shine the light of awareness inward and see, oh, look, there's some old anger there. There's some old frustration. There's some sadness about this or that. Some sadness about this or that. I could grow in how I communicate with my wife or my child or my dog or whatever it is. I could be more conscientious, more kind, more loving. I could slow down and not rush from this thing to that thing. And so when your wife looks at you and says, you're addicted to technology, or maybe it's time to quit drinking, or can you allow your heart to be open? Can you receive what life is telling you? Can you take a good look inside and see, oh yes, oh yes. But see, normally what our mind does when someone asks us to show up, when someone asks us to change, oftentimes our mind will argue. It will blame, it will judge, it will attack. I was listening to this man speak earlier today, and he was speaking about his practice of meditation. He teaches meditation in relationship to others. And so he's always trying to find greater ways to show up with more love, trying to find a greater way to show up and listen more, be more interested, more curious. And so he was saying, when someone is attacking you, can you become curious? Can you become curious? And see, this is what the awake mind does. The awakened heart does. When we are attacked, we become curious. Why is this person attacking me? Have I done something wrong? Have I offended them? Did I miscommunicate? Was I rude? And so it's that willingness to look inside. I can't tell you how many times I went to my teacher David and told him how someone wronged me. And he would always say, "Well, Craig, well, what did you do? How can you learn from this?" And I said, No, you don't understand. I want to be the person who's right here." And there's that old Saint Francis prayer. I want to understand first before I ask to be understood. Let me love and be compassionate before I ask others to do that. And so in order to do this, in order for us to become curious, we have to let the walls drop and realize what that old thing that we were taught when we were in kindergarten. Sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but names will never hurt me. Like other people's judgments or their words, they will not truly hurt us. We can grow through listening if we're open, if we're curious. Now, of course, there's times when we need to stand up and do what my teacher said, just give someone a kick in the shin. If someone breaks your boundaries, if someone's physically abusive, yes, you absolutely leave. But we can learn from each other. We can grow from each other. And sometimes our greatest growth is setting a boundary, is telling someone, "Hey, get out of my way." But more often than not, the things that our ego gets upset about are these little things in life. And so the man who was speaking today, I wish I knew his name. He was really wonderful Buddhist teacher who was speaking about relating with love, being curious about what another is saying. And of course, you do this with good, healthy people. You don't do this with a psychopath. You don't do this with someone taking advantage of you. But you do it with your wife or your husband or your children. And so, if we want this world to change, if we're willing to grow, we have to come into the truth. We have to be willing to stand in the fire and say, "Yes. Yes. I'm willing to look at myself. I'm willing to look to see where I've done wrong. I'm willing to grow." But in order to grow, it's so very helpful if we open our hearts and have this connection with God. Open our hearts and have the connection with God. And so I'm going to invite you to join me. Join me in letting go. Letting go of that which is unhelpful. That which is unhelpful. To forgive those who need to be forgiven. to love those who need to be loved. But in order for us to do this, we have to first step into our heart. We have to step into the hugeness of our heart, the hugeness of our love. We have to say, God, will you come into me? Will you heal me? Will you love me? Will you hold me? Will you give me the strength? Give me the strength to be here fully. Will you give me the strength? And so I have a number of questions this evening. Of course, if you have one, you can bring it forward. You can ask for the mic if that would be helpful. You can type it down below, or I'll just get into the questions that I have from the emails. Yes, and so let's see what I have here. You know, from the emails. Craig, this is a question that I get this one a couple times a week. It says, why do we practice? Why do we meditate? And so I thought this was a funny question. Why do we practice? Why do we meditate? If we're going to be on the path, we must give ourselves to the path. We must look at the thousands of people, millions of people who've gone before us. They didn't sit on a bar stool just drinking, you know, waiting to wake up. They stepped into their divinity. They stepped fully onto the path. They stepped open-heartedly on the path. They got up early in the morning and they meditated every day. They practiced yoga. They read the sutras. They chanted the name of God, you know, millions of times. Millions of times. Now, I have friends who are Buddhist, and they do the prostrations. They might do 100,000 prostrations, you know, over the course of a year. It's a very humbling practice. And what spiritual practice does is it brings us into a place of humility. It's a time for us just to drop everything and to open our hearts and to say yes. Yes. Yes to God. Yes to truth. Yes to love. It's a time where you put everything aside and say God alone is real. God alone is real. And so we're breathing, we're opening, and we say yes, yes to the truth. Yes, I'm willing to practice. Yes. Yes, I'm willing to show up every day. Yes. If you want to wake up to the absolute truth of your nature, you must be willing to give everything. To give everything. How many of us are willing to give everything? And it's a funny thing, you know, spiritual practice. We're sitting down, we're opening our heart. It makes you feel wonderful, it makes you feel radiant. I was speaking with a wonderful friend of mine this week, and she said, "Craig, I'm now experiencing that joy that you've been talking about. It feels so good. It feels so good to be alive. I feel so radiant. I feel completely divine. I know what you're speaking about." Thought, yeah, this is what happens when you walk forward. When you walk forward in the truth, this is what happens. You step into this fire, the old karma is burnt up, the old heaviness or heartache or that old egoic way of being is burnt up. And then you step into this absolute divinity. And so if we want to truly wake up, we must give everything. We must give all of our thoughts, all of our emotions, all of our pain from the past. We must be willing to let it go and to say, yes, I'm willing to step fully on this path. I'm willing to get up early and meditate. I'm willing to do yoga every day. We spoke about that last week. The willingness, if we're feeling heavy, if we're feeling miserable, if we feel like we have a tremendous amount of karma that we've been carrying around a lot, and by that I mean just baggage. And yes, we must practice. And we must practice whether we feel good or don't feel good. You know, there's been hundreds of days when I sat down to practice and I felt like a bag of rocks. But at the end of that meditation, I felt quite incredible. And see, this is what spiritual practice does, is it opens us. It opens us to the truth. It helps us to begin to directly experience our true nature. And occasionally, I'll get someone who's like, you know, really stuck in like the non-dual world, and they'll say, "Craig, you know, I shouldn't practice because practice is another thing that we do, and it just gets in the way between me and the truth." I say, "No, practice is the truth. You're stepping into the truth. That's what practice is. Stepping into the truth. I'm not asking you to stand on your head. I'm asking you to step into the truth. Step into the innocence. Step into the hugeness of your nature. Step into your absolute divinity. Step into that place inside, that absolute resilience, which has never been harmed by anything. Never been harmed by anything. How many of us know this space? This space of absolute truth. And so this is what we're stepping into. This is the path. This is the practice. You know, if you don't know what your true heart is, if you don't know what your true nature is, it's through practice. It's through opening. So practice is another word for simply opening. Can you open to the hugeness of your own divinity and say yes? Yes. Yes. And so thank you, Jeannie. Yes, so Jeannie knows what I'm speaking about. We're saying yes to the truth. We're opening to the fullness of what we are. This is what spiritual practice is. It means we're willing to let go of our ego, let go of the heaviness, and say yes, right here, right now. Right here, right now. Okay, beautiful. This one's from Jennifer. "Craig, I just wanted to thank you for our recent session and the little meditation we did that really helped to clear the energies in me. I felt so cleared that I had a pretty intense experience today when I was out walking and I felt totally disoriented. Then, like everything in my experience was super intense. I seriously felt like I was tripping. If any of you don't know what that means, it just means disoriented and kind of spacious and maybe giddy or blissed out or almost like you're getting into a new world. I managed to find my way home and lay down. My body just went into these major spasms, shaking and release. It was the most intense and scary experience of my life. Then I felt like I cleared some more energy from the depths of my being. I'm trying to be grateful and not terrified by the whole thing. Yes, and so when you step into the fire of truth, you may find yourself disoriented. You may find your body shaking and trembling. You may find new worlds waking up within you. You should expect this. It should feel wild and crazy. That's a good sign. A good sign. A very good sign. And so the spiritual world, it is a whole other world. It's a world without walls. It's a world where you feel undivided. It's a world where bliss will start to explode through your heart and through your belly and your legs, your feet, the palms of your hands. I can remember one day I was just looking at the palms of my hands and my fingertips. It just felt like a flood of bliss and radiance was pouring out of my hands, like I was some kind of silly superhero. But of course, there was not, there wasn't a spider web shooting out of my hand like Spider-Man, but it felt like that, just this huge rush of energy pouring out of my hands, out of my face, out of my eyes. And once that starts to open, you just become overwhelmed with love. Overwhelmed with love. And so, yes, sweetie, this is a good thing. And so often the more you release, the more you open, the more you let go, the more you begin to have these experiences. And yes, for some people it's terrifying, but we must remember we're letting go unto God, not unto death. We're letting go unto God, not unto death. And so, yes, my good friend Ivy, she was telling me, Craig, I feel so divine. I feel so joyful. I feel so blissful. And so this is what the path is about. Sometimes people think, oh, it's just this, we're digging, into ourself and, uncovering all this unconscious pain and heaviness and sadness and anger and guilt and rage. Yeah, we do that so that we can be light. And when we're light, when we're emptied out, like when you give yourself permission to empty out fully, to let go of everything, then yes, your heart just naturally starts to light up and you begin to experience your true nature. Your true nature is blissful. When they were, those early Christians, when they were speaking about, preaching the good news of Jesus, the good news is this: the kingdom of heaven is here, all about the earth. Join me. Step into your true nature and come into this kingdom. Come into this love. Is there a price to pay? Yes. Yes. Sometimes you have to let go of your anger, your sadness, your rage, your silly thoughts. Like I used to have thoughts that I wasn't allowed to speak. I had to sit and be quiet. I had to hide. I had to apologize for breathing the air. And so, in order to be big and vast and huge and divine, you have to let go of your smallness. And then, for people on the opposite of the end of the spectrum, who have big, fat egos who want to take up all the space and demand all the attention, if we want to step into the kingdom of heaven, we have to let go of our big, fat ego. Big, fat ego. And wherever we identify as either being really big or really small, in an egoic way, it's all ego. So don't think that being small is better. So many spiritual people are falsely humble. For me, that was a disease. And so, yes, if we truly want to come into the truth. We have to say yes to our heart, yes to that which is good, yes to our own beauty. When we really wake up, we will literally bow before our own self. Say, yes, I'm bowing before a goddess. I'm bowing before an angel. And so this is what this path is about, is waking up to your absolute truth and saying yes. Okay, great. Next question. Hello, Craig. How are you? I'm wonderful. So, I guess I told you that once I had a burning sensation when I allowed spontaneous kriyas and mudras for the last time. So he's talking about, you know, sometimes when we have big energetic releases, our body will go into kriyas, sometimes, you know, these different mudras will come forward. Our body will shake, sometimes it trembles, and sometimes we will, you know, spontaneously start making mudras. There's been a lot of people recently who have told me their body will spontaneously go into asanas. You know, that's always a fun one when you're just laying in bed at night and your body starts contorting. And you go into these strange asanas. And so the whole practice of yoga arose out of individuals who were experiencing kundalini awakening, and their body went into all these various asanas. And then eventually people started writing them down, great sages, and it became the practice of yoga. It's actually an incredible thing, because what we're being shown is there's this incredible intelligence, this incredible wisdom that moves through us, that's awakening within us. And it's not a mental wisdom. No, it's something much greater. Something much, much greater. And so we're opening into this. And we're saying yes. Yes to that which is great. Yes. And so, Marcel's telling me he's having these intense kriyas, this burning sensation, and this is. And then he begins to ask. He's wondering if he was doing something wrong. No, if you're having intense energy, you're not being punished by God. This is a good sign, my friend. It's a good sign. And so many people, we take these things personally. And so often, when we have negative self-esteem, if we have a poor sense of self, when we have intense energies, or someone, you know, comes in the room and looks at us funny, we tend to find a way to blame ourselves. I can remember I had a roommate once, and it's incredible, incredibly spiritual person, and she said, "Craig, every time you cough, you're doing it because I had a negative thought, right?" I said, no. No, 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 no. That's not what's happening. It has nothing to do with you, sweetie. I just have a cough. You know, you're taking it too personally. And so, you know, so often on the path, there's this idea, if it feels good, we're in alignment with truth. And if it feels intense, we're out of alignment, or we're being punished. There's no truth to that. Oftentimes, God will bring up a heaviness, a pain within your consciousness. Or, you know, like Jennifer was writing, you'll feel radically disoriented. Or there'll be a burning sensation, a heat, an overwhelming energy. This is good. This is God's grace. So God needs individuals who are strong, who are willing to be warriors, who are willing to open their heart, even if it's difficult. I can't tell you how many times in different chakra centers, you know, when they began to open, I would normally feel a knot there, and then a burning sensation, intense heat, a fire, an intense release, shaking, trembling. So all of this is good. All of this is normal. So he goes on to write, Craig, have I been accumulating too much negative karma? And what does this mean concerning my rebirth? Marcel, you have a big, beautiful heart. Trust your heart. Don't worry about karma and accumulating karma. Just do your best in the world, my friend. Open to the truth. Open to the truth. Open to that which is good, that which is beautiful within you. Yes. Okay, so, Craig, sometimes when I'm in an argument, I feel my stomach tighten, or sometimes my heart feels tight when I meet up with a friend. Is this my stuff that I'm feeling, or is it someone else's? Yeah, so this is a great question. And so the more you open, the more intuitive you become, the more you're willing to let the walls between you and life fall away. The more you will feel. The more you will feel. And so part of being on the spiritual path is we have to be willing to discern what is my feeling and what are the others feeling. So sometimes you'll sit in a car with someone who's quite angry, but you won't know they're angry, but you'll feel this intense anger arise within your consciousness. And so I invite you to step back and notice, who is it that's here that's noticing these feelings? When you step back first and simply notice, who is it that's here that's noticing this feeling? With that question, it helps you to step into awake awareness. It helps you to step into the fullness of what you are. It helps you to step into a clear and empty presence. And when you step into this clear, empty presence, you can discern. Does this feeling that's arising within this space that I am, is this feeling mine? And by that mine, I mean, does it belong to this body mind? Or does it belong to my partners, the people in the room? Whose feeling is this? And when you can step into this greater space, then you can be able to discern. Is this mine or is this theirs? Do I need to believe in this feeling? Do I need to attach to it? Because for so many of us, when we have a feeling arise in our body, we attach to it. And then if we like it, we get stuck on it. If we don't like it, we fight with it. But can you be big enough? Can you be open enough to allow all feelings to come? And all feelings to go without fighting, without attaching. Or can you step into this vast, spacious awareness and just notice? Oh, anger is arising within me. How do I respond to anger? With love. A fantasy is arising within me. How do I respond to that? Maybe we need to set a boundary. Maybe we need to let it go. You're welcome to indulge the fantasy, but as soon as you indulge a fantasy, you get lost in what the Buddha called samsara. And so many of us, we get lost in samsara. We struggle with samsara. And so the willingness to know yourself, to know your humanity, to know your ego, and say, Is this my feeling or someone else's? And do I need to take either of them seriously? Because when we step into our true awakened nature, we don't take things so seriously unless they are serious. Someone is abusing us, yeah, we take that seriously. We say no. We leave the situation. We stand up for ourselves. But there's so much in life we take way too seriously. And then we spend the rest of our evening or night or week just, spinning a story in our head, fighting with someone who's not there. Okay, here's a question from Sarah. Craig, I have been meditating for 3 weeks now. In this time, I've let go of addiction and noticed places in my back and knees that are stiff and blockages. How is it best to release this? Feeling intensely more pain in my body. Yes. And so Sarah, sweetie, if we're going to be on the path and we're going to continue to meditate, one of the things we have to develop is this sense, what's called in Zen is a strong backbone, a willingness to show up again and again and again. But that strong backbone, that discipline and that willingness to show up must be balanced with a big open heart. And so if you feel pain in your body, you breathe into the pain. You become curious with it. And so with this pain in your back, you might just notice, what is this pain about? You can ask the pain, what is this about? Oftentimes if you look in the back, people think of the chakras as simply in the front, but the chakras are actually in the center of our body. And so oftentimes, like the throat chakra and the upper heart, we can hold on to things there. And so many of us were carrying around like 8,000 pounds of old karma and sadness or rage on our back. Or if we have issues, especially around finances and money, we tend to have, or, issues with our family, that tends to be lower back. And so it's good to investigate this and see, what is this truly about? And so I invite you to become intimate with the feeling, to sit down with the feeling, to open to it. And then I'm going to invite you just to imagine that that feeling could speak to you, almost like it was a little child. And you just ask that child, what's this pain about? What's this heaviness about? And see if it presents itself to you, what it's about. More importantly than knowing what it's about is you should ask it. You could ask it. What do you need? How can I help you? And so oftentimes you might hear this voice, we need to let go. We need to forgive mom. We need to apologize. We need to step back on the path. We need to figure out our finances and develop a financial responsibility or whatever it is. And so if you listen, it will tell you. Oftentimes it just tells you, breathe, let go. I can't tell you how many things I found in my body when I just asked, what do you need? And just right away I hear this voice, just let go. Surrender. Or be done. Like if I was carrying around something old that, was important, that it was time for me to be done with it. And so, yes, Sarah, this is a beautiful question. I had knee problems too. Oftentimes they say that knees have to do with transitions. I don't know if that's always true. Sometimes we're just getting older. Our knees hurt, or we work too hard, or this or that. But, oftentimes our knees and elbows hurt. Joints will hurt when we're going through a transition. The more quickly we step fully into the transition and say yes to the truth, oftentimes that pain lifts up. or releases from our consciousness. And the same thing, like with what people were describing earlier with these big energetic releases. Oftentimes there's a heaviness in the heart chakra or in the belly, and there'll be a big energetic release. There may be burning, there may heat, there may be shaking and trembling, but then afterwards you feel blissful. You feel blissful. Okay, great. I just have a couple more questions. Let's see if I can get to these. Craig, I've been quite exhausted lately. Is there any truth about needing to reduce the amount of sexual interactions I have now that I'm in my 40s? Yes, this is it's actually a good question. And so for men, there's this old teaching, and this has been around for thousands of years, that when you're young, whatever, I mean, young men can have lots of sex and it doesn't wear them out. But the older you get, you begin to lose a big sense of your spiritual energy. You begin to feel quite exhausted. And so, yeah, there's many Taoist teachers that teach this, Buddhist teachers, pretty much every spiritual tradition has placed great emphasis on celibacy for men. But more so, and I'm not such a fan of celibacy. I tried that for a couple of years in my 20s. It's really difficult, to live in that way. But one of the things that happens is within the first chakra, the root chakra, for men, there's stored a tremendous amount of energy, a tremendous amount of prana. And so when that energy is released, you will tend to lose lots of energy. And if it's happening, more than twice a week, if you're in your 40s, then yeah, you're going to feel exhausted. And so there's probably all kinds of stuff in the world of Tantra about that, about retaining your seed, so that you don't run out of energy and become exhausted. For women, it's different because women have eggs and they have a set number of eggs. But with men, once the seed is released, the body to recreate it. And if you look at what that is, the seed, it's a seed of life, of a human being. So there's a lot of energy there, a lot of power there. And so we don't want to be wasting this or using it or just being lost in sexual fantasy all the time or chasing this thing or that thing. If we're always chasing, this is just true with anything on the spiritual path. If you're chasing things which are not the truth, you will feel exhausted. You will absolutely feel exhausted. So whether you're in a bad relationship or a relationship that's a fantasy, you think it's just, the end all be all. And if you step out of alignment with truth, you will feel exhaustion within your consciousness. And so, yeah, this is a really, really common thing. And so, anytime we are chasing things, chasing that which is not true, we're going to suffer. Whether it's exhaustion or anxiety or depression. And that tends to be the three ways, three experiences that we have if we've stepped off the path. You'll feel exhausted, anxious, or depressed. And by depressed, sometimes it's just a sleepiness, a melancholiness. And so when you're on this path, this is a path of radiance. It's a path of love. It's a path of experience, immensity. And so you have to ask yourself, what is it that you want? Do you want to chase sex? Girls or chase boys or whatever it is, or men or women or whatever, or do you want to chase the truth? And of course, chasing the truth means coming into your heart and just opening. Opening. A lot of people chase the truth mentally. They chase it with philosophy. And you can think you're really smart and have this wonderful non-dual philosophy or religious philosophy all worked out. But if any of you have spent a lot of time in your head and your thinking mind, it's exhausting. Once a year I'll go into my thinking mind and I'll do my taxes. It's exhausting. And then the rest of the year I try to stay out of my mind. Just come in my heart and to live from the heart. What we begin to discover is our heart has this flow of intelligence, of wisdom, that feels radically different than that of the mind. And so when you come into your heart, you will feel overwhelmed with love, overwhelmed with energy, overwhelmed with radiance. But if you're losing energy everywhere, losing energy, well, you've probably stepped off the path. Sometimes there's even things within our consciousness which are, how shall I say this? Things within our consciousness which we are avoiding or ignoring. And it creates a feeling of exhaustion. And so, a good sign, sometimes when we're exhausted, it has to do with like we know something, but we're unwilling to admit it out loud. Like something needs to change, but we're unwilling to change. So that's another great reason for exhaustion. And so, anyways, I want to thank everyone. Okay, let's see this. One last question. Michelle writes, is it common after awakening that the desire for sex just drops away? Both sex and alcohol seem to have just left the building. Yes, it's a very, very common thing. When we step into a transcendent way of being, addictions tend to fall away, fantasies tend to fall away, the lower desires tend to fall away. But of course, like I said in the beginning, every couple of weeks I'll see there's some new great sex scandal with some silly guru or whoever. And so it doesn't always fall away for everyone. Sometimes it falls away temporarily and then comes back. But yeah, it's very common that you just start to feel more spacious, more radiant. And when your heart really opens up, it feels as if you're literally making love with life. You experience this overwhelming intimacy with all of life. And so when you really step into the fire of truth, it feels like an overwhelming intimacy and love with all of life. The idea of sex may fall away. Alcohol most definitely should fall away. Anything you've chased should fall away. This is all quite normal. So anyways, I want to thank everyone for stepping on the path, for joining me, for opening your heart, for sharing yourself with me. A couple announcements, real quick. I'll see if I can get through them. I'm doing a retreat in Aspen, Colorado, January 18th, 19th, and 20th. So come join us for that. I want to thank Butch and Patricia. Butch, we missed you on the retreat. Thanks for the donations. Thank you, Ivy. And next week, I do believe I'm going to be at a wedding. And so I'm going to be at a wedding as long as I can find a home for my dogs for the weekend. And so I won't be here next week. So I'll see you back in 2 weeks. I want to thank everyone for the donations, for your support, for your generosity. Peace be with you all. And may you all have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Good night.